First.
There's a whole world of sound out there to discover with BBC Sounds. Explore mind-bending questions in the Infinite Monkey Cage podcast.
To be complete, we'd have to know what time is, which is, coincidentally, the subject of today's Monkey Cage.
And have you ever arrived unfashionably late to Friday night comedy?
If you will, a chicken Caesar.
Spare the embarrassment of awkwardly laughing along. Simply tap to go straight back to the start of the gag. Discover the power of BBC Sounds. Download the app to listen.
Here on Radio 4, Lillian attempts to keep the peace in the Archers at 7 o'clock. But now, the second of two programmes looking back at the stand-up and songs of Victoria Wood.
Hello. Well, here we are then. We made it. We're out of the house. We said, that's it, Friday night, we're coming out. We are not sitting in front of the television eating pizza straight out of the box, scraping cold mozzarella cheese off the inside of the lid 2 hours later and eating that.
Welcome to Victoria Wood from Soup to Nuts. I'm Rebecca Front and I invite you to pull up a pizza lid with cold mozzarella, sit back and enjoy this, the second part of our look back at Victoria Wood's stand-up and songs. This being the second show, and this absolutely not being a proper documentary, what better time than to look at how she would begin a typical stand-up show and immediately bond with the audience? Here's more of her introductions, this one from a performance at the Birmingham Hippodrome in 1990.
Anyway, welcome to the lovely Birmingham Hippodrome, all the glamour and glitter of show business encapsulated in one venue. But not this one, unfortunately. What do we think of when we stand here? Gilgud's Romeo, Olivier's Hamlet, Rackham's Furniture Department? It's the pink Drelon that lets it down, I think, really. I suppose they can't make it too nice in case you all come and you won't go at the end. You know, sort of same principle as designing a recreation hall in a euthanasia complex. Are the people up the back tonight? Oh dear, they sound miserable, don't they? You'll have to splash out on a better ticket next time, I think. We got people in the boxes? Can't see. Oh, they're nice, aren't they? Little mobile homes stuck on the side like that. If the milkman comes calling, can you tell him I want 2 pints of skimmed and a bilberry yoghurt? Thank you so much.
The bilberry yoghurt, now, of course, officially enshrined in law as the funniest flavour of all yoghurts. But hear how carefully crafted the seemingly off-the-cuff routine actually is. Here's a clip from a home-recorded cassette of Victoria working through her routine in advance of a cabaret booking.
Hello. I don't really want to say much more than that, I don't think, at the moment. I think I'll just stand here and drink you all in. Well, not all of you. If I drank you in, I wouldn't go to drive home. Anyway, welcome to Place. Seems quite a nice place. Somehow classy and yet quite seedy all at the same time.
So let's hear that homework in action.
But Portsmouth seems a nice place. I've never been here before. So it's quite classy, isn't it? Classy and yet seedy at the same time. I think that's quite...
Yep, that worked. Let's just check one more.
It's very nice to be here in Cardiff. Seems a nice place. Classy and yet somehow seedy at the same time.
Gets a round of applause in this town.
But Derby seems a very nice place. Classy and yet somehow seedy at the same time. I love it.
Now, the next thing any stand-up has to deal with is latecomers, and Victoria had a fine array of lines to deal with them.
Oh, good evening. We waited as long as we could. If you're going to be late, don't wear glittery earrings. That's my advice to you.
Or here's another, my personal favourite.
Good evening. A late start. Don't mind me, you get that Mac folded properly.
Just the joy of the word Mac. Of course her audiences wear Macs. Not an overcoat, too fancy. Not an anorak, not on a night out. But a Mac. But folded properly, mind, nothing sloppy. In fact, Victoria knew how important it was to get the audience on board as quickly as possible. This is one of the reasons she did her own warm-up when recording her sitcom Dinner Ladies. And fortunately, someone very smart up in the TV control gallery... OK then, her longtime producer and director, Jeff Posner, had had the producer's instinct to press play and record while she did so.
We're out of the house. We said, that's it, Saturday night. We're coming out.
And if that sounds familiar, here's something. Victoria introducing the cast members. In this case, Maxine Peake, doing her first ever TV job as the perpetually discontented teenager Twinkle.
This is Maxine Peake, who's not done any acting at all, have you? Not even this afternoon you didn't do anything. been to RADA, though, haven't you? Didn't get in, she just looked through the window and came away. Anyway, so you are to in court. See you later.
In fact, Victoria herself explained the importance of doing her own warm-up. This is an extract from her own personal audio diaries she kept during the long process of making Dinner Ladies.
I was the only one who could explain the plot, you know. I was the only one who knew what was going to happen. And, well, I am a stand-up comedian, so it seems stupid to pay another stand-up comedian to go and do terrible mother-in-law jokes, although I can do terrible mother-in-law jokes, thanks very much. It was just easy. It just made more of a night of it, you know. I'd just come on and do that, explain, bring everybody on. Because I wanted to introduce all the cast. I just thought it made it more cosy, and then we would, you know, break off from that, and well, hopefully while they're all still laughing, we get going.
And the explanations even continued on set. Imagine, if you would like to, all the Dinner Ladies sitting around the canteen table waiting to shoot an ensemble scene. This is Victoria talking directly to the studio audience.
So just tell you what this is about before we do it. Well, what it's about, you see, Jean, she's thinking about her wedding, aren't you? Thinking about the food for your wedding, aren't you? That's what
not
she's
mine.
Thinking about.
Not mine.
No, not your wedding. Your daughter's wedding. Daughter's wedding. Lisa. So when it's just so you're not going, when it starts, you know. As if you've only seen the Generation Game, you're not going to catch up with this.
You also heard Anne Reed there as Jean. She could be quick-witted too, as this little clip shows. Here she's in the middle of recording an episode of Dinner Ladies in front of the studio audience and has forgotten a line. Nick, the ever-faithful floor manager, is reminding her of the exact words in the script.
I'll tell you what, you tell me what the lines are and I'll copy what you said to me.
Oh, no.
Just what?
Now, look, just give it to me.
Just give it to me.
When you come back.
When you come back. I'm telling you, just in case you can't hear it the next time, you'll know what they're saying. Just give it to me when you come back.
I'll sort it out.
I'll sort it. Who put that out in? I never wrote it. Though, as I'm paid by the word, it would have been a good idea to pop it in. I'll sort it out, possibly can I, should I think I possibly should. Thank you, 20 quid, eh? Thank you.
OK, enough analysis, back to stand-up. Where were we? Yes, we need to talk about sex. Or, more precisely, we need to talk about Frieda and Barry. Victoria's most famous song, with which she often closed the show, was about a couple where, to put it simply, she wants to and he doesn't.
So she said, let's do it, let's do it, do it till our hearts go boom. Go native, creative, living in the living room. This folly is jolly, bend me over backwards on me hostess jolly. Let's do it tonight.
But less well known is the intro to the song.
I'll tell you one way to cheer things up at home, girls. If you're in bed with your chap and things have got a little bit what Olivia Newton-John used to call physical. Because these things happen. Now, I understand. A girl gets to the end of her Mills and Boone and... Well, look, if you're in bed with your chap and these things are going on, a good way to get a laugh, right, is to wait until things have got very passionate, stop dead, and say, did you get those bin liners? Now, this next song is dedicated to my deep interest in the act of physical lovemaking. It's very short. Now, because when I was younger, people used to stay the night with me. This is before I got my Holly Hobby vibrator, you understand? No, I used to sleep with people. They do these silly things when you're young. I mean, I used to take pills, but I was too young. I was the only one who had to have them crushed up in jam. But when anybody stayed the night with me, I used to put this bolster down the middle of the bed. Nothing odd about that, but mine had broken glass stuck in the top. Is it? There's so many silly things to do with sex, though. All those things you're supposed to say. Did the earth move? No, but the wardrobe door came open. And all those things you're supposed to have, like Dutch caps. Well, they're horrid. They are, because if they're too small, they make your ears itch. Did you know? Now, it all stems from this unfortunate experience I had with my first boyfriend. You see, he had a sex manual, but he was dyslexic. I was lying in bed and he was looking for my vinegar. That was quick. Took him 20 minutes to get that in Eastbourne.
She understood the British attitude to sex, that however passionate things get, there's always a danger that someone will inadvertently mention Eastbourne. Here's her description of the preamble to a British wife-swapping party.
I mean, I find it very hard to imagine wife-swapping going on in this country. I mean, I suppose you can picture it in Hollywood, can't you? In the Hollywood Hills, naked film stars leaping from chandeliers and ladling cocaine up out of Tupperwares. But you can't sort of picture an orgy in Bridlington, can you? Oh, now steady, I'd mind the barometer.
She envisages two British couples painfully going through the social niceties before they get stuck in.
Well, then what do they do? They all go in and have a dry sherry in the lounge. Can I tempt anybody to a low-fat crinkle? I beg your pardon? It's a crisp. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we started that.
A low-fat crinkle. We've all felt deep down that it's a stupid, stupid name for what's basically a crisp. But it took a Victoria Wood to pin it down and then use it with such comic rhythm. In fact, getting that rhythm right was an essential part of her writing process. Let's listen to some more of her own personal rehearsal tape. She's just bashing through the end of Frieda and Barry.
Jokes for Harrogate, I can say. I love to see people stuffing their faces in Betty's and then trying to sweat it all up in the Turkish baths. Turn the heat up, Connie, I'm trying to lose a Welsh rabbit and an eclair, or something like that. Two eclairs and a Welsh rabbit, I suppose, would be better.
Yeah, two eclairs and a Welsh rabbit is better. OK, next on the running order is a song, so...
Cross to the piano. Now, when Wimbledon was on, I did a joke about Wimbledon saying all the British players had won their matches and gone on to the semi-final, and then I said, oh no, that wasn't Wimbledon, that was Tales of the Unexpected, which might do for something else unlikely that's happening at the moment. Well, I'm sitting down at the piano. I do have a love song. It's rather done rather well for me, actually. This is Over Tinkling. It's been translated into many languages. It's recorded by many famous international artists such as Nana Mouskouri, Charles Aznavour, Jockey Wilson. I hope you like it. If we don't, we do have a complaints procedure. You fill in the form and I get in the car. Thank you.
And in fact, not a song next, but an older form of comedy, the comic monologue, a music hall tradition most famously exemplified by Stanley Holloway with monologues like Albert and the Lion, delivered in the broadest Lancashire tones, but here given Victoria Wood's inimitable spin.
I've got a little change of mood now, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if you know, but I've written a lot of serious poetry. Some of it in the interval. And... this is an extract from a very ambitious work of mine, a 27-volume anthology, entitled Slowly to My Grave I Stagger. And I have been heavily influenced by other poets such as Sylvia Plath, Ezra Pound, E.E. Cummings, Stanley Holloway. And here is a short monologue entitled It Was Party Time in the Crescent. It was party time in the Crescent. Madge's invite said 8 for 8.30. By 7:45, Madge had got in a state saying, Rex, does that helmet look dirty? Madge had gone to a great deal of trouble. There was peanuts and warm Coca-Cola. There were prawns on Rivita and at least half a litre of sherry she'd won at Tombola. Conversation was sticky to start with. I see you've got everything matching. They all stared at the floor, then the man from next door broke a tooth on a piece of pork scratching. Mrs. Smith had just come off of a cruise ship and showed 32 slides of old frescoes. This white wine, I discern, is it from the Auvergne? They said, no, it's 2 quid, it's from Tesco's. Well, the party just couldn't get going in spite of the prawns and the drink. Then Rex had a hunch, this party needs punch. Is that bucket still under the sink? He mixed old parsnip wine and Bacardi, some meths and 3 small pickled onions, nail varnish remover, the fluff from the Hoover, and some ointment for rubbing on bunions. He tossed in 2 bottles of Brasso, a sandwich, a quarter of gin. He said, hey, come and look, it just melted the bucket. Never mind, everyone, get stuck in. Well, the party picked up from that moment. Mrs. Smith got quite jolly and bold. No, getting the burps. Rex said, that's the terps. Put your knickers back on, you'll catch cold. One man got dressed in a nightie and said he was Emily Bronte. made a gurgling sound, collapsed on the ground and broke Madge's cup at a Monte. One woman, who nobody liked much, ran amok with a brawn handheld blender. She slipped on the rug, caught her foot in a plug and knocked herself out on the fender. Well, they phoned 999 for a stretcher. Please come at once, you must hurry. Well, they must have misdialed. At the door stood a child with three rice and one vegetable curry. They all left about 6 in the morning, 17 in one Morris Marina. In fact, now the bonnet had 8 of them on it, singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina. Rex and Madge had a post-party cuddle. Madge in trunks and an old fireman's helmet. That was wonderful, Rex. What incredible sex. Now, how do we get off the pelmet?
Anyway, where had we got up to, stand-up and life-wise? Let's see. Had teenage boyfriends, had relationships, got married, got pregnant, had babies. Ah, yes, motherhood.
Anyhow, I must tell you, I've had a terrible day so far because I woke up really late this morning. I overslept, so I'm running around shouting at my children. One of them was being really stupid. He wouldn't get dressed, so I overreacted. I've had him adopted. No, it's all right. I'm going to collect him from the social services tomorrow morning, but... He's awful, though. He's always phoning Childline about me. She's running the flannel under the cold tap again. You know, I'm turning into such an old bag mother. You know, I used to be quite nice. When I just had one little baby, I was really nice, you know, and it had everything. It had musical mobiles over its cart and Mrs. Tiggywinkle height charts. Second one, couldn't be bothered. If he wouldn't go to sleep, he used to prop him up in front of the Open University. If I want to know how tall he is, I just check the snot mark on my coat and add 2 inches.
When Victoria Wood became a mother, her children became, as children do, an unrelenting inspiration for material. But she had an ability to marry everyone's experiences with her own, no matter how much of a celebrity she became, and to link it back to her own very northern childhood.
And I'm really pleased to be here. It's so nice to be here tonight, and I'm so glad to be out of London, because the bit of London I live in is filthy. You know, the air is filthy, especially in the hot weather. And it's just traffic pollution. And all the traffic, really, is these women driving their children to school in these huge four-wheel drive Jeeps. Now, why they have to have four-wheel drive in London, I don't really understand. Unless they're worried about encountering a low-sugar Ribena slick coming up Highgate Hill. But they all drive these enormous great tanks, you know, great bars on the front to repel rhinoceroses, and machine guns mounted on the roof, moose's heads dangling off the spare wheel. This is all to deliver one spindly child to the fluffy bunny Montessori nursery half a mile up the road. And they have a terrible life at these private schools, you know, these poor little children, because they're whipped in and out of conversational Spanish and Mexican folk dancing and interpersonal skills. My children don't do nothing like that at their school. They just sit around cutting up old Brillo pad boxes with zigzag scissors. Once in a while, they come home with something they've done at school, like catch nits. But it's these mothers, you know, that are really, really competitive. Like, I know this woman. She had her child taught to play the piano when it was 7 months old. But it was a concert pianist by the time it was 2 and a half. It gave a concert at the Royal Albert Hall, Second Piano Concerto, Rachmaninoff. The critics were really nice about it. They said it was unbelievably mature under the circumstances. But in the quiet bits, you could hear its nappy crackling. But even the ordinary mothers I know are really competitive, like perfectionistic. Like, if your kid has a birthday party, you can't just go out and buy the birthday cake. You have to make it yourself. Well, I was at it myself a few weeks ago. I was up till 3:45 a.m, frigging about with licorice bootlaces. Trying to do Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm on the phone to Jane Asher. Was this your idea? A shunting yard made of sponge fingers? This is all so that somebody who's no more than 2'6" can come in the next morning and say, I think that coal tender is coupled up incorrectly, Mother. And party bags. I mean, party bags are a real nightmare where I live. I mean, you can't get away with, like, just chucking in a bit of cake and a balloon. They go mad. I mean, this year you can't really get away with less than one decent piece of jewellery and some air tickets. Now, I know this woman, she said, this has gone too far, this party bag business. I'm going to put a stop to it. And she gave a party, and she put on the invitations, there will be no party bags. The children didn't like that. She was under police protection for 3 months. She had to have cosmetic surgery and go and live in Argentina.
But there was none of this when I was little. There was none of this party bags or consolation prizes or everybody has to go home with something. I mean, it was tough. If you were out at musical chairs, you were out. I mean, out in the street. Go on. It's raining, Mrs. Pickering. I mean it. And there was no exciting food. There was no pizzas or burgers. We used to die of excitement if the jelly came in two colours. Pip used to sneak into the dining room. It's red and yellow. Yay! And we used to have these horrible little potted meat sandwiches with flags in that said potted meat in joined up writing, which none of us could read. So you take a bite and go, I don't like potted meat, Mrs. Pickering. Then you go without. And you know when you do pass the parcel, now when you make up the parcel, you have to put a little prize in each layer, so each child who unwraps a layer gets a prize. None of that when I was little. You were lucky if you got one when you got to the end. You'd unwrap the last thing and go, there's nothing in it, Mrs. Pickering. No, that's life, that is. Think on.
OK, done some stand-up, done a song, finished the song.
E7 suspended, E7, A7. Well, A9, D.
What's next? Oh, time for a character.
At the end of that song, grab the berry which should be hung on the offstage knob, upstage knob of the piano stool, best place for it.
Berry. Ah, yes, it's Kimberly time.
Hello. I might inform my friend, Kimberly.
One of Victoria's best-known routines goes by the name Kimberly. Like Frankenstein being the name of the doctor, not the monster. Sorry, I will calm down in a minute. Kimberly was the name of the character's friend, perpetually being sought as Victoria stood there in yellow beret and bright orange overcoat.
Hello. I'm looking for my friend. Have you seen her? Kimberly. She's really, really tall and really, really wide. If she had a suitcase on her head, she'd look like a fitted wardrobe. I'm meeting her here for a drink. We're both celebrating. Kimberly's reached target weight at Weight Watchers. And I've come on the right bus. She's done really, really well at Weight Watchers, Kimberly. She told me she's lost the equivalent of 3 bags of anthracite. I said, it doesn't matter, you've got steroid heaters. She's done this thing called Weight Watchers Quick Start. It says it's really, really effective because it's so quick. You run in, they shout, you're too fat, and you run out again. We're only having one drink because I've got to go to my evening class. I'm learning a language. It's called Get By in Flemish. Well, I'm learning it, you know, in case I ever go to Flem. So I don't know what I'm having to drink. I think I might have a penis colada. Have you ever had one? They're nice. I made one myself once out of a recipe in the Watchtower. It was Ribena, pineapple chunks and evaporated milk. I know what Kimberly will be having, Malibu. It's a Malibu maniac, is Kimberly. She's awful. One Malibu starts leaping about doing an Nijinsky impression. Not the ballet dancer, the arse. 2 Malibus, you have to follow her around with a shovel.
Victoria Wood was never really seen as a satirist or a political comedian. You could argue that she didn't like to divide audiences, or that she had a healthy scepticism for the sort of person who claimed they had the answer to the world's problems and would jolly well make sure you would agree.
Would this be a good moment to talk about Scottish country dancing?
Perhaps like the spirit of well-meaning, Whiggish busybody Philippa, the human resources manager in Dinner Ladies, as played to perfection there by Celia Imrie. So this next bit of stand-up from 1990 is fascinating because you may not remember the people she talks about. Actually, no, this is Radio 4, of course you will. But it's a rare foray into current affairs.
No, I'm glad I'm here now. I think it's going to be a good one tonight. You know, this is my first proper theatre show of the 1990s. This is my first tour of the new decade. It's very exciting, isn't it? What's the new decade going to hold, do you think? Do you think they're going to knock the whole of the Berlin Wall down? All these Germans are going to stand there going, I think it looked better before. I don't know. What do you think?
There's so many exciting things gone on this year, haven't there? Like Nelson Mandela. I couldn't believe it when they let Nelson Mandela out of prison. What a day that was. You remember that afternoon? Everybody sat around their television sets going, what on earth happened to the Antiques Roadshow? Do you know? I would say I haven't quite understood everything that's gone on in the news. I still really don't understand why Colonel Gaddafi was paying Arthur Scargill's mortgage. Do you understand that? What was that, the Gaddafi and Bingley Building Society? I didn't understand it. I mean, the sad thing was, if he'd lent him another £3, he could have had his hair done, couldn't he?
She instinctively knew that the British every woman and every man would laugh at Arthur Scargill and Colonel Gaddafi. That's not political. That's what P.G. Woodhouse also knew, was the British person's ability to recognise a buffoon or a sham when they see one. With children growing up and a host of other television, stage and film projects to plan, in 2002, Victoria Wood turned the Albert Hall into her very own version of Shea Stadium.
You know, I've been thinking about giving it up, you know, being a stand-up comedian. I was thinking about stopping doing it. Oh. Not tonight, I'll wait till you've gone home, but... No, I don't want to get, like, too middle-aged to do it, you know, because I've got really middle-aged lately. I can't read the paper. I'm doing this with the paper, you know. I can't really read it unless the woman in the house across the street holds it up at the bedroom window. Oh, and I can't read the A to Z. I can't read the small streets. If you don't live on a main road, I'm not coming to see you.
Of course, no discussion about ageing would be complete without a good old-fashioned swipe at the thorny question of body image.
Anyway, I know I'm different sizes in different shops. 16 in some shops, 18 in some shops. In Gap, I'm only a size 12 because they're American. In Marks and Spencer's, I'm only a size 3 because they don't want to upset anybody. And in Topshop, my hips set off an alarm as I go through. There's a big middle-aged woman trying to get in. There's a grill coming down. Whoa! I go, please, it's not for me, it's my daughter. No, we can't help you. Go, go, go. Evans is round the corner. Please, go there.
Victoria Wood, sketch writer.
Toss soups.
Sitcom writer.
Because on Sky there was this film about this woman whose husband died in this avalanche. And 2 years later she finds his sperm in the freezer and gets pregnant with a turkey baster. So she's been distraught for years because they haven't had any children.
You should have cleaned the freezer out a bit more often.
And character comedian.
I'm looking for my friend.
Discoverer of the perfect rhyme.
I've had it up to here with sex. Those nylon vests and hairy necks. They expect you to be flighty and they act like God Almighty because they've got a cock and they can mend a flex.
Discoverer of the perfect word order.
Two eclairs and a Welsh rarebit, I suppose, would be better.
And creator of the most perfect one-liners.
I said, have you got Menopause magazine? He said, does that come monthly? I said, there's no reason why it would.
Victoria Wood. Victoria Wood from Soup to Nuts was presented by me, Rebecca Front, and the producer was David Tyler, with thanks to Lucy Ansborough. It was a positive production for BBC Radio 4.